Dr. Benjamin Franklin is with us today, as portrayed by Tallahassee's favorite Lloyd Wheeler. He'll talk a lot about America's Declaration of Independence. And then, as we close out today's show, we've got celebrated vocalist Star Swain, known best for her a cappella performance of the national anthem. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 75 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com. Together on this 4th of July weekend, when it is our pleasure to bring you celebratory greetings and lots of fanfare, right? And red, white, and blue bunting and fireworks and all that jazz. What a great time in our nation's history to sit back and say, what the heck is going on? Not our first brush with, you know, conflicted times. You know, we, like every good family, you have those moments when it just seems like the wheels are falling off, and maybe they are. I'm fond of that professor of mine back at Seattle University, Dr. Jurglich, sociologist and such. He was fond of saying, you know, when everything seems to be falling apart, it's the best evidence that scientific progress is being made. I've never really quite embrace that, I suppose, in the fullness of what that means. But I'm getting there. There are times when I think all of us just get a bit weary of trying to, you know, keep things going, keep the wheels from falling off, or maybe we just get tired of trying to change the tires while we're going down the freeway. But there is that sort of conundrum involved with being on this train going down the tracks, and the only way we can be able, we find opportunity, I'll say, to be objective, we got to jump off the train. How do you do that in just the very simplest terms when your life is rooted in the very culture that it's so ingrained, you know, so much a part of how we define who we are and such. I mean, that's pretty clear that human beings adapt and adopt and continue to do so in some measure throughout their lifetime. Yeah, we're in those early formative years. Child developmentalist psychologist Erik Erikson may not be known to you, but this is a guy who wrote extensively, did a lot of research and such, about early childhood development, those first 5 years. Highly formative, but then he extended beyond those beginning years into childhood and then early adolescence, late adolescence, like that. Among those people who study such things, he was, or is often referred to as a stage theorist. You know, he just believed that there were certain stages of life during which time certain prerequisites had to be presented. That is to say, the needs of a child at 2 or 3 years old are considerably different than those when that child is, you know, 67. So, and I can say that with full embrace of my now achieved place in life. At 67, I can look back a little bit on that train ride and say, okay, so here are some things I just don't believe anymore that I was taught to believe. Here are some other things that I've come to believe that I didn't even know existed. Well, that's interesting. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, you know, what you believe about yourself, what you believe about other people. One colleague who said, you know, when you're in your 20s, you're constantly worried about what everybody thinks. And then when you're in your 40s, you just don't care what anybody thinks. And then when you're in your 60s, you realize nobody has ever been thinking about you. And I think it's probably the healthiest part of that whole experience is to realize, you know what? None of us individually are capable of fixing all the things that we think are wrong, if we think so. And there's plenty of information that tell us, yeah, things are in tough shape here. But again, being the somewhat optimistic kind of person that I am, my confidence, frankly, is outside of or beyond simple human efforts. So there are those divine moments, and you see that replete in our nation's history, whether it's, you know, George Washington crossing the Delaware, you know, some of the unusual circumstances that surrounded that whole period of time that shouldn't have worked, but they did on behalf of patriots who decided to declare their independence from the crown. And fortuitously, we've got Lloyd Wheeler here with us in this first hour, known best for his portrayal of Benjamin Franklin. And as an amateur historian himself, he comes to us fully capable and ready to talk at length about the details of one Dr. Franklin, how it is that his personality, his knowledge of the world and his established history of scientific investigation and diplomacy and statesmanship, and as a literist, you know, he had all of these things going on. He was capable of many things and brought to bear for us and for this country then those things that were his contributions, most notably negotiating on our behalf as a nation with, you know, France. He won favor there, and as a result, late in the conflict, the war with England, the French finally did arrive, and that was pretty much the end of that story as it played out, and America won its independence. From that point on, we have struggled to try to figure out, okay, well, what does that really mean, and who does that really apply to? You know, as that definition of what is human and who are entitled to these rights, that has expanded painfully, painstakingly, slowly, you know, some would argue at a glacial speed, and by way of constitutional amendments and laws, local, state, federal laws that affirm our humanity collectively. And have even at this juncture are still in debate in some respects or another. Fortunately, we aren't still struggling with whether or not African Americans have rights or women have rights. We've kind of moved a little bit further down this train track, but at the same time, we should continue that healthy self-analysis, right? Questioning. How can we do better? If you find yourself sort of at some points, and I certainly do, throw your hands up and just say, well, there's never going to be any real progress here. Stand by. I think what we have to do is be willing to yield our allegiance to certain ideas and certain, I suppose, political alliances. You know, if you find yourself on one side of the aisle or another, start to think more in terms of how we go about achieving the greatest good for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time. That's the one rule that I'm hanging on to, and it seems to be working so far. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
On this July 4th weekend, of course, we want to join with you in celebrating our nation's independence and our nation's quest for freedom, particularly poignant at this time in our current history when the freedoms that we've enjoyed are being questioned in some respects. In the current landscape. So we thought we would do as we have for so many years, invite our good friend Lloyd Wheeler, who does a remarkable job in portraying one of our nation's founding fathers, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. So we are going to welcome Dr. Franklin to our broadcast today. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing quite well, Mr. Cerny. I will say, made my journey here, I was a bit surprised to find that the temperature was about the same as it is towards the end of August in Philadelphia City.
Indeed. We are enjoying these extreme temperatures by sheltering ourselves from air-conditioned homes and businesses back to the car and to the store and home we go. Yeah, it's been oppressive of late. Apologize for that. Thank you for being here in spite of it all.
Okay. Well, it does remind me of years ago when we had almost no summer at all.
Ah.
I through research and newspaper articles, I was able to find that the summer of winter, as it was called, actually was due to a very, very large volcanic eruption.
Indeed.
In the Pacific Ocean, in the islands out there.
Hmm.
And it affected the climate of the Earth.
Wow. Well, I guess volcanoes are known for that, aren't they? That's kind of their thing, depending on how large the eruption.
Yeah.
Well, there's a nice metaphor. So here we look at the beginnings of this nation. I believe 246 years now since the signing of this remarkable document, the Declaration of Independence, penned by your colleague, Thomas Jefferson, went through several editions, right? Several iterations.
Oh, yes.
Under your help, and I believe Mr. Adams was part of
Mr.
that.
Mr. Adams, Mr. Sherman, and Mr. Sherwood one from New Hampshire. Connecticut.
Connecticut, yeah.
And for the life of me, I don't recall.
when you think of that time, and I know you're forgiven because all of us have aged a bit since you and I last saw each other. It happens that
though you were privy to those conversations and you were very much a part of helping Thomas Jefferson craft that document, in your mind, what stands out as the most unique aspects of it or particularly unparalleled?
Well, one thing would be the selection of Mr. Jefferson to be the prime author. The committee of five, and a few of our other colleagues in Congress decided that that would be the better choice for the penning of the Declaration by Mr. Jefferson. Many of my colleagues were afraid that if I had written it, I would have inserted some jokes, as it were.
You're known for that, Mr. Adams. I think you've earned that.
Yeah. Well,
come on now.
I do have a history of putting my tongue in my cheek, as it were.
Yes.
Mr. Adams flatly said that nothing would come of the Declaration if he had written it, because so many of the other delegates flat did not like the man. And I will not get into it this time, since he is not here to defend himself, personal items. But Mr. Jefferson, Mr. Thomas Jefferson, had such a unique, beautiful way with the pen and forming words. We each added or made minor corrections. Before it was submitted to Congress. And I was quite amazed at how Mr. Jefferson remained on the outside so calm to the way other delegates from the other colonies tore into his writings.
He was an affable, we'd say, affable sort of personality.
On the outside, I'm sure inside he was quite upset.
He was disciplined, perhaps, or controlled. Your role in all of this, as you look back at how you were fundamental and formative in those years, helping people better appreciate what was in potential, what independence from the crown could really look like. I mean, that's one aspect. But then the idea of fashioning and forming a nation. It's one thing to say, hey, we're free. It's another to say, well, okay, what are we going to do with that freedom? Mm-hmm. And how do we then self-govern in a way that is not tyranny? And I think you had a personal amount of experience with tyranny, right?
Oh,
Your brother in other ways.
As an apprentice, I was apprenticed to my brother James as a printer. That's where I learned the trade of printing.
I see.
Well, you know how, in many cases, older brothers treat younger brothers. And that was the case with us. And as an apprentice, of course, I was expected to jump every time he spoke. So we clashed at times. There were times that we had to go to our father to settle disputes. And he, in his wisdom, reminded us both that my brother was a teacher of a trade, and I was the learner, the apprentice. So we basically, it was up to me to learn from my brother, listen to his counsel, and accept his admonishments.
Do you think now that that process was contributive, that you find yourself many years later, faced with this disorderly, conflicted body of people trying to hammer out some agreement, and here you were being looked to for leadership. It seems to me you would have maybe drawn on some of those early learned skills.
I did draw on that, and many of the delegates did look to me due to my age. Mr. Jefferson, at the time of writing the Declaration, like many of our colleagues, were in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
I was in my late 60s.
Yes.
As it turned out, after the Declaration, later that year of 76, Congress assigned me to go to France, I was 70 years old when I made the crossing to France. So
I'm not sure that I could do that now, especially the way airlines are operating currently.
I don't know about airlines, but
you certainly know about transcontinental travel.
Oh, yes.
More than once. Folks, we've got Lloyd Wheeler here with our celebration of the Independence Day that is upon us this weekend and through the holiday on Monday, and we're glad you're a part of it. Portraying for us Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're going to do more if you'll just stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453. I will try not to sing out of key.
So I've got Lloyd Wheeler talking with us, portraying the beloved, the revered, certainly the contributive Dr. Benjamin Franklin in a lot of different ways. So we think of you, I suppose, most prominently as a statesman, one of those who was instrumental in crafting this declaration and later on our Constitution. Then you have this other life as a writer and a printer. I think of the Poor Richard's Almanac, among other writings. Then your work as a scientist, you know, this curious mind of yours, trying to identify electromotive force. You know, what is it that pushed you in that direction? I mean, you could have easily just pursued all of your inventions, you know, the stove and electricity, all these different things, but you still had that leaning towards governance, we'll say.
Well, I was most fortunate that I arranged my business affairs to be able to step back from the printing business and still derive income from it, which allowed me the freedom to explore natural philosophy, where I looked out and, through curiosity, observation. You mentioned the electricity. For me, we called it electrical fluids. Many of us have been experimenting with electricity for many years, not fully understanding, but each experiment, each show, added a bit of the knowledge that we had.
Yes.
It occurred to me, especially one winter, as I walked across the floor, the carpeted floor, in my stocking feet, reached for the doorknob, and I got a small shock, which I'm sure has happened to most everyone.
Right.
But I looked at that spark, and it reminded me so much of lightning.
Yes.
That I came up with the idea, and in a few years was able to do the experiment, which so many people have misconstrued with my son and the kite and the key.
Yes.
I will say my kite was not struck by lightning. If it had been, would I be before you today?
Probably not.
I don't know if we have time to go into the whole rendition of my thoughts.
Please.
But I, my idea was, as I walked across the floor, that movement across the floor created electrical fluids. My thought was that clouds rubbing against each other might in fact create that same electrical fluid. And with the kite and the key, I was able to actually gather some of the electrical fluid, store it in a Leyden jar. And yes, some of the electricity arced or sparked to my finger as I held it up to the key. But a bolt of lightning that I don't know where that story has happened or has come about.
Well,
although I have read that some people trying to duplicate my experiment were
met their demise.
A bolt of lightning. So I caution everyone.
Perhaps. Let's not be rushing out there trying to enact.
Absolutely not. And I have no responsibility should they do so.
Well, as you have pointed out more often, the embellishment of stories over time, I think Carl quoted earlier Mark Twain saying, the best thing that ruins a good story is an eyewitness.
Yeah.
Right? So we find ourselves, even in this time, struggling, and I think it's become even more problematic in some respects. In your time, it could take months, maybe even the better part of a year, make sure that communication. I mean, you're in France for a good number of years, and trying to communicate back to this government, these colonials. And doing your very best at times to negotiate on behalf of America, on behalf of this group of colonies. But the stretch of time.
Yes. Well, I, in my writings to Congress from France, I always made two or three copies of letters and sent them on different ships, hoping that at least one letter would make its way through.
Indeed.
I know of several that were, the ships were stopped and boarded by British patrols. And of course, mail would be confiscated at that point. But the hope was that message would get through.
Right.
And I realized that Congress would have the same difficulty sending messages to me.
Yes.
Congress and its wisdom at that day assigned me the powers of minister plenipotentiary, which gave me free rein to do what I thought was best
on behalf of
for the United Colonies.
Mm-hmm. In relation to the French crown and the way in which you were able to form certain personal relationships that were contributive, we'll say, particularly the foreign minister there who was representing France to the
Minister Vincennes, foreign minister for the crown.
Yes.
The
You guys had a great relationship, it seems.
Or
how would you describe it?
I did develop a close friendship with the count. It was also most helpful that my reputation as a natural philosopher followed me or preceded me on the way to France. One humorous anecdote. Louis XVI was so tired of hearing everyone talking about Bonhomme, Franklin. My image was everywhere in France, especially in Paris.
Yeah, wasn't there a coin with your image on it?
Oh, coins, bust, pictures.
Right.
The king was so tired of seeing my face that he commissioned a chamber pot with my image in the bottom. I took no offense at this.
Of course.
But I thought it was rather humorous.
Of course.
Some of the other delegates that came along were aghast at this. But
I think that's one of the parts of your personality, we'll say, that I think a lot of us identify with. You held on to that sort of impish, boyish sort of humor and charm. So when you stop and think about it, folks, Dr. Franklin is just like you and I, a real person with real interests in a lot of different subjects. He happened to be in the right place at the right time in history. And for most of us, I think we would say, thank God that you were. Mm-hmm. Folks, I've got Benjamin Franklin here, Dr. Benjamin Franklin, as portrayed by our good friend Lloyd Wheeler. You stay with me as we continue in our celebration of America's Independence Day.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are in the final moments of this conversation with Dr. Benjamin Franklin, courtesy of good friend of this show, good friend of this town, Lloyd Wheeler. We look back with a sort of rose glass kind of view, I suppose. But there were times when it was questionable as to whether or not this thing was going to even come together.
Oh, many times we were wondering how long it would be before the king's noose would be put around our necks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what you were about was high treason.
From the first Continental Congress, it could have been considered treason. Mr. Henry, at the time that the enactment of the Stamp Act was so up in arms that from the reports I've read, when he was talking to the assembly in Williamsburg.
Yes.
He was being shouted down as a traitor. And he said, if it be treason, make the most of it. He was not afraid because he thought he had right on his side. Indeed. People today, I've heard the chants of no taxation without representation. Uh-huh. And that was a strong motivation for our displeasure with England. In our charters, colonial charters, there was no provision for Parliament to lay taxes on the colonies. We were not opposed to paying taxes. We realized taxes had to be paid for the common good. But all of our assemblies, our councils, we taxed ourselves, internal taxes. Mm. We gladly accepted external taxes on shipping and import duties from Britain. But when Britain started adding tax upon tax upon tax, the Stamp Act, for example, any document, be it legal or personal, had to be written on stamped paper. Playing cards had to have the king's stamp on it. That was all laid on by Parliament, where we had absolutely no say on those issues.
Indeed.
And things got progressively worse. Yes, a short time later, the Stamp Act was rescinded by Parliament, but they wanted to keep the power to tax the colonies.
Yeah.
So they rewrote the law, did away with the Stamp Act, but kept the right to tax the colonies. and they did so trying to tax us through tea. Many of the members of parliament were stockholders in the East India Tea Company, which was going close to bankruptcy. Parliament rewrote the importation laws to favor East India, giving them the sole right to ship tea to the colonies. In doing so, yes, the tax on tea was lowered. It was even cheaper than the smuggled Dutch tea. But it was still a tax laid on us by Parliament. That is why we had the Tea Party. For many landowners, going back to the early days of the colonies, landowners in the Massachusetts Bay colonies, if you owned property with certain trees on it, you could not harvest those trees. Those belonged to the king, and they would be harvested only by officers of the Royal Navy for naval use. The Sugar Act. We used to have and still enjoy a lot of trade with the West Indies. Sugar being the main commodity, it would be shipped to New England, turned into rum, shipped to England and Africa for the slave trade.
Wasn't Thomas Jefferson determined initially to include slavery as a topic in the Declaration, and it was removed.
He did mention it, and because of objections from the southern colonies, other southern colonies, it was removed from the Declaration. As I said, during the debates on our Declaration, many of the items that Mr. Jefferson and our committee put in there were stricken or were changed. Our idea at the time was we had to stand together. In our declaration, it had to be unanimous to open the eyes of the king. We had tried many different ways to show our displeasure and to let him know of how we felt. He ignored that. But without a unanimous decision, one colony, two colonies, it would have meant nothing. I know I'm jumping ahead as we are primarily talking of 76 and our declaration.
Right.
But a few years hence, when we did win our independency from Britain, we found that the Articles of Confederation were too weak. And that's when we started coming together to form a new government. It was even more contentious than the debates and the arguments in the State House during the leading up to our declaration. But I was in the position being the oldest one at that point. And I played some on the
seniority.
On the fact, the seniority, and maybe a little bit of the awe. But one of the things that I told the other delegates, a slight story, if I may. Have you ever seen a joiner? By that I mean a furniture maker.
Yes, indeed.
Takes several pieces of wood, tries to put them together, and they don't fit well. But the joiner will take a little bit from one piece of wood, a little bit from another, and a little bit more and more from each piece of wood until they fit smoothly and completely seamlessly together, making a useful, strong piece of furniture, a table or what have you. That is what we had to do. We were men, as imperfect as any other man. We knew we were flawed. We knew there was fallacy. There were parts of the Constitution none of us fully liked. But in there was provisions that as times change, changes could be made.
Indeed. And so it happens.
That, I think, was the beauty. One of the beauties of our Constitution.
Yes. As we look back through the benefit of looking back through history, we find those changes those yes. advances, those amendments to the Constitution that have been a part of this ongoing quest for freedom, freedom of the nation and freedom of its citizens.
Yes.
Dr. Franklin, we have come to the end of this time. Once again, it's a...
I've enjoyed this so much.
A sad moment, as always, my friend. And so we have it. We are pleased to have brought you this further contribution from our dear friend Lloyd Wheeler, portraying the beloved Dr. Benjamin Franklin on this July 4th, Independence Day weekend. Hope that you and your family will celebrate it with a sort of reverence, I suppose.
And joy,
yes.
It is a time of celebration.
Indeed it is.
A new nation Huzzah. That has never been seen. Exactly. Huzzah.
Lloyd Wheeler, everybody, our beloved friend of this show and of this community with his contributions. You stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up in the second hour. Star Swain is here to sing for you, tell you her story, and we'll be back after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Welcome back to the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Ryan Cerny. Always looking for an opportunity to have conversation with the people that you want to hear from. People that are talking about the things you and I care about, particularly, whether it's local races for commissioner of this or that, if it's a restoration of an historic school like Concord School. We got some good news about that whole topic. Lloyd Wheeler, who brings to us this rendition, this portrayal of Dr. Benjamin Franklin, as we celebrate this 4th of July weekend with you, my friend. Happy 4th. Happy Independence Day. Time to, I'm certain, to celebrate in a manner that is appropriate. You know, you're red, white, and blue, and be careful with the fireworks. You know, we are in, otherwise, I don't know if we're, is it officially drought conditions right now? I'm certain, certain at any time, no matter what, you got to be very cautious. We had Robert Clary here with the Tallahassee Fire Department, was that a week ago, cautioning us all to avoid personal injury, property damage. Come on, man, think about it. Don't be stupid. So if you're gonna have your own little fireworks show at your house, there are some simple things you can do to avoid disaster. And for heaven's sakes, if you're burning sparklers, yeah, don't be playing around with that. Have a pop bottle there, soda, something, or a bucket, you know, with water. Just throw them in and avoid what can be some pretty nasty burns. Okay, enough of that. Trying to help you out. Just reminding you to be safe. Speaking of Concord School in Miccosukee, if you don't know about this, the earliest mention of the Concord School was in the minutes of a school board meeting back in 1878. The school was originally built in 1894. Prior to its actual building, the structure itself, it really began with the Miccosukee AME Church. It was an African-American school for children, school children, then. And it so happens that over the years, there's been an effort to preserve it, rebuild it, refurbish it. The story goes that in 1893, two Miccosukee women sold a half acre of their land with the stipulation that a schoolhouse be constructed there for African-American children and probably others as well, beyond their school-aged kids. But by 1912, the Concord School had grown to be one of the five largest African-American rural schools in Leon County and was granted an assistant teacher. And then in the 30s, the school was enlarged. In the 60s, it combined with Miccosukee School, still holding on to that name, Concord. In 85, the school was closed, and as happens then, structures that are not being attended to begin to deteriorate over time. Well, good news, Leon County has received $3.6 million in funding to restore this Concord School, historic that it is. And with that award, a community development block grant, it's referred to, this better than $3.5 million will be used to restore the school and establish it even more firmly as a example of the contributions of Black Americans. So this is a quote from Bill Proctor, who serves currently as the commission chairman for Leon County. He says, at Leon County, we know the importance of investing in our rural communities to both provide essential services and preserve their unique character. Funding will allow the county to make needed renovations that are purposed to improve the functionality of the building and allow for further or future amenities. So there you go. This is good news. The game-changing $5.4 million investment from this grant and other works, that is to say other funding, represents the county's long-term work on the Miccosukee sense of place, which is an initiative to help shape the community for generations to come, so said Leon County Administrator Vince Long. So that's all good news. And of course, on this July 4th weekend, we should certainly talk a little bit about what's going on with celebrations around town. As has been our custom here for many years, the city of Tallahassee invites you to their observances. Celebrate America with Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra. A couple of details here. They'll have the main stage ready to go, and you'll be able to participate in all of the day's events that they're going to be at, as they are usually, Tom Brown Park, if you're not familiar with that. And taking place then, of course, on July 4th, this Monday, from 7 to 10 p.m. They'll have a spectacular fireworks display for you. Taking the stage at 7:15, you'll have Sasha Tuck and the Capitol Jazz Trio. That's cool. And then for the remainder of the evening, Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra will be playing all kinds of patriotic music for you. Here's a couple of basic rules to keep in mind. All vehicles need to follow the rules as far as access to the park. And access will conclude at 8:30. So if you're not in there before 8:30, sorry, pal. No personal fireworks, no personal tents, and no pets, except service animals. Okay, got that? Do I need to say that again? No personal fireworks, no tents, and no pets, unless it's a service animal. Okay, should be easy enough to remember. Now, in the event that the weather turns bad, inclement, an announcement with safety directions will be made over the main stage speaker. So they'll keep you posted so you don't get drowned out. Not by the music, but by the thunderstorms. And speaking of that, lightning is always an issue. So, yeah, be mindful. The dog park will be closed, so you can't use the dog park for your pooch. And all of this is courtesy of City of Tallahassee. And speaking of lightning, you know that we have officially launched our annual prepared campaign. And we have an assembly of wonderful sponsors this year. Folsom Roofing has joined us, and they are known for their particular attention to detail. Roofing companies are numerous. When you talk to Folsom, you find out that they're very, very close to their clients and customers and such. And so you're going to enjoy getting to know them well. And we've got, of course, Tony Kelly Heating and Air. Capital City Gutter is there with their services. Sellers on Capital Circle Northeast for tile and flooring of various kinds. This is all good. And it's presented in total by our good friends at Wooden Glass. Once again, Wooden Glass stepping it up, saying, look, we want to make sure everybody is prepared for severe weather because, let's all say it together, staying prepared is not a season. It's an attitude. 24/7, 365. And that's why you'll find out all of this information is available to you to help you stay prepared if you'll go to TallahasseePrepared.com.
June 1776, Philadelphia. The youngest delegate to the Second Continental Congress is appointed by committee to begin the drafting of a document that would declare the vision and intentions of this Congress. Inspired by the Enlightenment ideals of individualism and liberty, this young delegate from Virginia continued the painstaking process through several drafts before presenting the final version, which stands today as an enduring statement of human rights. The man was Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence. Celebrating America's quest for freedom, this message brought to you by Wooden Glass on South Monroe, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Mahan Animal Clinic, special people and special care on Mahan Drive just east of Weems Road and on the web at mahananimalclinic.com. And Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast for the best design ideas and the highest quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Well, in fact, she has achieved some rather notable attention in the last several weeks. A woman who, for many years, has been blessing folks with her voice, her musical talent. A Star Swain has won the hearts of millions of viewers now across the country and around the world when she decided to present herself there at the Lincoln Memorial and begin singing the national anthem. Now, this came by way of some bidding. We're going to get into that story as we introduce you to Star Swain. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
We're glad that you're here this morning, and it's good to have you.
It is great to be here.
With us. After all that you have done in the last several weeks, jumping around from CNN to NPR, I mean, folks, if you haven't done this, Google and Star Swain. It's remarkable because you're going to see postings from NPR and the New York Times, CNN, even her hometown newspaper, The Beacon, over there in Macon, Georgia. Everybody has just been so thrilled with this vocalization. The way that you presented yourself and the way that that whole thing came about, your singing of the national anthem, was inspiring. It was touching.
Wow.
Just had all the right elements. Tell us a little of the backstory, how this got set up, and was this all just sort of last minute, spontaneous, or there had to be some planning, I guess, going into it?
No, there was no planning at all.
No.
This was completely spontaneous, on the spot. You know, we were in D.C. for our family vacation. So, you know, that was our goal.
You and your husband, goal. Friend,
manager, right.
Everybody there.
Right. Everybody was there. And even though, you know, the guy at the end was like, I'm her manager, that was still a joke because he's not really my manager. You know, we were just they were like, man, you know, you should just do it. So, you know, I did it. We were actually having a conversation about the acoustics in the memorial and, you know, how beautiful it sounded.
Yeah.
So, you know, I jokingly said, man, I should just break out and start singing the Star Spangled Banner, you know. And my friend was like, man, you should do it. And I was like, no.
Oops.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, why did I say it?
And they weren't going to leave you alone.
They were not. I'm glad you know that. That's exactly why I was like, let me just do it because I'm going to hear about it the rest of the week if I don't.
Well, and you know, the fact that if you haven't watched this video, folks, and I would be surprised to find out that you haven't, simple enough. I mean, again, you can Google Star Swain. You can go to her fan page on Facebook by the same name, Star Swain, just like it sounds, S-W-A-I-N. And here you find the people who are visiting the Lincoln Memorial that day, who are just taken with your tenderness. And and that, I think, is what's, for me as a listener, most notable. Your treatment of our national anthem was particularly, I thought, tender and heartfelt. That wasn't just a performance, was it?
No, no. Anytime I sing, it's for me more than just a performance. And, you know, whatever the song is or the words are, I try to reach people with the meaning of the song, you know, through the voice and the gift that God has given me.
When you think of the Declaration of Independence having just been celebrated now this July 4th, and all that that says to us as a nation, all that it holds for us in promise, here you come as an African-American woman, on the eve of that celebration, now 240 years in our history.
Yes.
Singing the national anthem at the memorial site of the president who signed into law the Emancipation Proclamation. I mean, I don't know what else you could have done for us to have made clear that message.
Yeah.
That liberty shines.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And so when I hear you singing, that message came through for me. I thought, she's not just singing the national anthem. She's delivering a message to me and to every one of us who are paying attention and who are listening.
Indeed.
And who are celebrating with her that liberty.
That freedom.
Freedom. When in our time, we continue to struggle over some of those basic freedoms, do we not?
Yes, we do. We do from time to time. And I think that the way that I think that's one of the reasons that the video did go viral is because, you know, as Americans and as people, just as humanity, you know, us being a part of humanity, we all are experiencing that struggle, you know, right now in different aspects, you know, politics, religion, just everything. And I think for most of those who've listened and who viewed the video, that gave them that sense, you know, of the home of the brave and the land of the free again. Like, you know, this is really what America is about. And hopefully, you know, we all can join together and become united, a united front.
Well, in fact, when I looked at the video, and I originally my wife pulled this up, she said, you've got to listen to this. This is remarkable. You know, and my first thought was, yeah, I mean, you know, it's the internet, right? It's, come on. I mean, how many videos do you have to see on Facebook before you're sort of, right, I get it.
Right, right.
So, yes, I freely admit that I was a bit, let's say, jaundiced, maybe even a bit skeptical or cynical. But, man, you really broke through that cynicism in any capacity. And in the midst of what has been an economically disastrous period of time this last 10, 12 years. We're still in that fight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're definitely in that fight. And I think more than anything, we are in a fight for realizing and cherishing what humanity means. You know, just cherishing and valuing a person, you know, not a religion, not a sexual orientation, not, you know, my economic status, but just understanding that we are people. And for me, that I think is a message that needs to ring loud and clear, you know, is freedom, but also humanity and cherishing that and valuing that and working together to maintain all of humanity, you know, as a whole.
Originally from Macon, Georgia, she's a graduate of Florida A&M and Florida State University. She is a vice principal at Jefferson County Middle School, and she is our guest this morning. Star Swain is with us. You stay right where you are. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
June 1776, Philadelphia. The youngest delegate to the Second Continental Congress is appointed by committee to begin the drafting of a document that would declare the vision and intentions of this Congress. Inspired by the Enlightenment ideals of individualism and liberty, this young delegate from Virginia continued the painstaking process through several drafts before presenting the final version, which stands today as an enduring statement of human rights. The man was Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Celebrating America's quest for freedom, this message brought to you by Witten Glass on South Monroe, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945.
Mahan Animal Clinic, special people and special care on Mahan Drive just east of Weems Road and on the web at mahananimalclinic.com.
And Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast for the best design ideas and the highest quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are back with Star Swain, famous internet recording star, who graced the world, certainly our nation, with the singing of our national anthem only days before the coming of July 4th. And it's hard to imagine that they didn't somehow scurry you away to some national site, you know, to celebrate further. I was expecting you to show up there at the Capitol. On you have for many years been involved in music and as a singer. When did that start with you as a kid? When did that all begin for you?
It did start when I was a kid. Uh-huh. I've been singing for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom says I used to sing all the time and it started when I was two. But of course, I don't remember that far back. But I do know I got my first solo when I was in third grade.
There you go.
So, you know, I've been singing since that time in stage plays, you know, different events, local events, just a wide gamut of things. And, you know, we worked really hard as a kid and as a teenager, my mom and my family, with trying to find that big break. You know, social media was not in existence when I was coming up. So you didn't have that medium of, you know, getting your voice out there or just, you know, people finding out who you were. But everything was to no avail. And then, you know, now you have it where when you're not trying, it actually happens.
Funny how that works.
Right, indeed. Yeah.
And some of us stopped trying a long time ago. We're still waiting for that break, nonetheless. But in your case, it worked magically and to our good, because we are the ones who have benefited from your superior talent on this occasion. Where else are you singing? And is it? I know that you're a middle high school assistant principal. Mm-hmm. I guess you've been there about a year, you said?
Yes, yes.
And that's in Jefferson County.
Jefferson County.
So you couldn't have possibly gotten back to school without people swarming you
middle school, high school,
huh?
Indeed. Of course, some students are there for summer school, but most, of course, the entire school is out for summer break. But we do have, you know, our office staff and some of the teachers and the district personnel, you know, they've all given their congratulations and been very supportive.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. When that all broke, who was the first to pick up that story? Was it NPR or CNN? How did it break?
The first to pick up the story, actually, I think it was CBS that we interviewed with first. They were the first. And then there have been a lot of local news, WCTV. Yeah. So they were like the first couple who kind of, but, you know, and then from there, all the calls just started coming in, you know.
And it was a friend of yours who decided to do the video, mm-hmm. and you had your husband there egging you on.
Yeah.
And so after having been impressed into service, you responded with such grace and with such, again, sincerity. For me, I thought that the actual performance was so penetrating. You notice it in the responses of the people that are there at the memorial, mm-hmm. Lincoln Memorial, and they're stopped in their tracks. They're lasered in on what you're doing. I can't imagine that they wouldn't be, but everybody seemed to just gather then about you. Mm-hmm. What were some of those things that were said to you after you finished singing?
A lot of people, most people just said, thank you. You know, that was wonderful. And they said, thank you, which I wasn't expecting a thank you, you know, but that kind of goes back to our conversation before. You know, I think it's just, it brought in that sense of patriotism again. We've had a lot of veterans and things that have reached out to us and just said, you know, it made me proud to be an American again, you know. So I think that was what the thank you was for, you know, at that moment and at that time and where they were. It was just a great moment, and they were grateful for it.
And as a singer, a vocalist, a mm-hmm. musician, singing the national anthem is not an easy thing to do. That is not without its challenges,
right,
we'd say, right?
Right.
And yet you clearly had this in your grasp. Mm-hmm. Was that at all a concern to you? I mean, you didn't seem to have a chance to warm up or anything.
It was a concern.
Walked up and nailed it.
It was definitely a concern, which, you know, is where all the nerves came from, because I'm like, you know, I haven't practiced. My voice is kind of hoarse.
Please,
you know,
Lord,
I'm just like,
this, let this fall apart.
Right. Yeah, this is not. Yeah. I wasn't prepared for this. So, you know, I was definitely nervous about, you know, making sure I nailed every note. And everybody, I think, whoever sings it always gets nervous on that land of the free.
No kidding.
You know, everybody's anticipating the high note.
Right.
Even in the video, you know, there's a lady in the background who's like, is she going to hit it? She puts her finger up, you know. So, yeah, definitely nervous every time I sing it.
It's a challenge.
Yes.
I have to tell you that when I talked with several other people the days that followed, everybody has their sort of, I guess, favorite moment when, you know, and if it's one vocalist or another, or maybe an orchestra that's mm-hmm. performed, I think that this is a performance as spontaneous as it was. Mm-hmm. That will remain for some time. I really think that it's got some enduring value there. As an educator, mm-hmm. you chose to pursue that educationally. You have your master's mm-hmm. from Florida State University in education,
mm-hmm.
but you chose to do that and not pursue a music career, or are you doing both? How does that all work together?
I did choose education and have always kind of sung on the side.
I see.
The education is another passion of mine for sure.
Right.
And, you know, of course, you got to make a living. So, you know, what better way to do it with something that you really love?
Indeed.
But even as I'm working in that area now, I'm also working on the musical career so that, you know, perhaps in the very, very near future, it will become my career.
I see.
So we are working towards that.
And you're going to be in the studio, I think, in the days ahead.
Yes, sir.
Producing a recording, a CD or an album of some kind, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. We're working first on, you know, just the single that, you know, we'll put out really soon, within the next month, and then, you know, continue on with the entire album.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to tell us anything about that particular song, or is it still behind closed doors?
It is behind closed doors. I will say that it will speak to all humanity and the world.
Is it a song that you have written, or is it something that was written for you? Or
Something that was written for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A local musician.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm working here.
You are. yes, indeed.
Good luck, Brian. Okay. So, well, be sure that you bring that to our attention when
it is completed.
Because we definitely want to give that some airplay.
Yes, sir.
Around these halls. Folks, we have Star Swain with us, and if that name is not yet famous in your hearing, well, you know, guess what? The rest of the internet world has embraced this young lady for her contribution to our patriotic observance of July 4th holiday, and in doing that, brings this rendition of the national anthem there on the occasion when she and her friends and family happened to be at Washington, D.C., at mm-hmm. the Lincoln Memorial,
mm-hmm.
and somebody says, I guess your friend or your husband says, yeah, why don't you do this? Why don't you go ahead and sing the national anthem?
Yes.
And you just belt it out there.
Mm-hmm.
A cappella, as our friends at Tallahassee Community Chorus would say, Jan mm-hmm. Smith and company. Well, folks, you stay with me. We're going to have more with Star Swain here. A native of Macon, Georgia, friends, who has now made her home this way, having graduated from Florida State University and FAMU, and teaching over there as an assistant principal at the Jefferson County Middle High School. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in particular, if you're mm-hmm. working with middle high school students.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt a challenge,
I should say.
Yeah.
It can be.
So we'll get into that. Folks, I want to tell you, this broadcast is our passion. This is what we love doing, bringing you people like Star Swain. It happens because we have such great sponsors, the people who make this broadcast possible, including the very good people at Witten Glass down there on South Monroe. Call them today, Witten Glass, 222-5781.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
One observer said, you know, wherever Francis Scott Key is right now, he's going, now that's the way that is supposed to be sung. And I think there are many of us who would join in that sentiment. When you talk about freedom and you talk about the quest for freedom, certainly among African Americans, among any of the minorities that continue in many ways mm-hmm. seeking liberty and justice and equal treatment under the law, we have signed into law those statutes that preserve and protect mm-hmm. Those freedoms and liberties, and yet we have to defend that in each generation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think of what you've done in this singing, how does that translate into your everyday life? What kinds of things do you get involved in that you see as a continuation of that?
Well, as I said before, education is definitely my passion, and I'm working on my doctoral studies at Florida State as well, and the focus of those research studies is going to be equity in education and how do we close those gaps, you know, between the haves and the have-nots. And for me, I guess that would be my contribution to the fight for freedom, you know, is equal access to education, to high quality education, regardless of, you know, where I live, you know. So for me, I think that's the role that I play. And even in singing the song, I like I said before, I just really want that sense of humanity, and we are all human, you know, we are all valuable in some type of way. And that is indeed the message that I want to get across. It's just equity and equal access and opportunities for everyone.
When you look at your participation in Jefferson County Middle High School mm-hmm. and you think of those students through the school year, and you've been there now a year, what are some of those impediments that you can see might be holding somebody back?
I think just their ability, and when I say their, I'm speaking about my kids, but just the kids' mentality and ability to see the world on a larger scale. You know, Monticello is very small, and there tends to be sometimes, you know, not a broad view of the world and the opportunities that await them. So I think for them, that's an impediment. That can be something that kind of holds them back, is being able to see, you know, that there's so much more out there for them. And hopefully this video will show them just that and everything that's come with it, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. In fact, folks oftentimes will bat this idea around. Is it a question of funding? Is it a question of providing quality educators? Is it a matter of providing additional or other resources? Is it a question of curriculum? Where do you come down on those questions? How do we provide that equal access and opportunity that you are talking about?
I think it's all of the above. It is the funding. It is the curriculum and instruction. It is understanding how to serve economically disadvantaged students, how to provide them with the instruction that they need, that's culturally responsive. Uh-huh. You know, it's building relationships. It's giving them exposure to things that they have not had the opportunity to be exposed to. Yeah. So it's a wide gamut of everything all combined into one. And I think the way that we can kind of overcome those challenges, especially in that community, is just coming together as one and being a unified front and all working together to do everything we can.
With an individual student, do you ever find those, or is this often the case perhaps, where a student expects less of themselves and you have to break through that mm-hmm. with them and encourage them to mm-hmm. realize that it's within their grasp? They too can achieve.
Oh, definitely. Huh? All the time. We make it a point to encourage our kids every day because, you know, sometimes they may have had a history of failure, you know, from elementary all the way up to now middle or high school. And so we have to kind of change their mindset about who they are. Mm-hmm. We do definitely make sure that we encourage, we inspire, and let them know that they can.
It's interesting how nationally that has been recognized, at least in regard to Leon County. What's the most joyful part of your job then as an educator?
The kids.
Yeah.
Without doubt. Just loving the kids and being able to talk to them and, you know, just letting them know that they have somebody that cares, that loves them, but that's also going to hold them to a high expectation and a high standard.
Tough love, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you were willing to share that love with all of us who have been benefited by the fact that you were, I don't think you were tough. I think you were courageous in giving us this performance.
Thank you.
Star Swain, who broke into this last couple of weeks on the internet with a video that quickly went viral and several news organizations across the country picking up on the story. She has made her way back home to us and to the local audiences here with Channel 6 Television and the Tallahassee Democrat. All of us very pleased to have
thank you
the opportunity, really, to say thank you for giving back and for encouraging all of us to think more highly of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And in celebrating that freedom to say, you know what? It's a star-spangled day. Yes, sir. I'm sure there are many who would echo that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
What a pleasure. Star Swain, our friend. And you are my friend, too, who make it a part of your Saturday every week to be a part of this broadcast. It's a delight. The production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you next Saturday right here at 9 o'clock. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the red. so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular, the bombs bursting in air, gave through the night that our flag was still there.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.